You might like to turn in your Bible to Matthew and chapter 27. In our study of the Gospel of John, and in particular the great part of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that has to do with the main point, his wonderful, wonderful death on the cross, Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And as we've been looking at the details of that and trying to learn a little bit, we shared together that in the process, at noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the darkness, chapter 27, verse 45. And from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, that darkness covered the earth, as it were, in some awesome, wonderful way. And why the darkness? And what do we know? The world didn't care. The world is going to crucify Christ. The Jew and Gentile are going to crucify Christ. They are guilty as can be in the six trials, 3 Jewish and 3 Gentile. They're guilty as can be. And that awesome, awesome, awesome moments when God judged the sin of the world in the person of Jesus Christ in those 3 hours. The world doesn't care about that. The preaching of the cross is to them a perish foolishness. God, what did you do? Such an awesome event. So meaningful to you to give your Son, God the Son, on Calvary's cross in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. Therefore, darkness. Now, what do we know about the world system that doesn't care, doesn't understand? We know from in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, you don't have to turn there. Woe unto them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Evil for good, good for evil, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Turn everything upside down. What do we know about that world? They don't want to see light. They love the darkness. They love darkness. What do we know? The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Why are men condemned? They loved John 3 and 19. They love darkness more than light. They love darkness. They change the darkness. They don't want the darkness. And our Lord would say, like in Matthew 7, 6 and that, don't cast that which is holy unto the door. The world, the people that don't care about such high, awesome, wonderful things, they don't care. Don't give that to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine, or they'll trample you. The world doesn't care. Why did you cover it in darkness? The world doesn't care. And they are not going to understand in that sense, that awesome transaction between God the Father and the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, we know, and we go to the garden, and 3 of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, a stone's throw away, and the Lord went and knelt down by a stone and prayed, God, unless this cup to drink the sin of every human being that ever lived, will live, to take the sin, word, thought, and deed, in his own body on the tree. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Your will be done, God. It's an awful thing. Darkness covered it. The world doesn't want to know, doesn't want to understand. No. So therefore, we shared together last time, how is it that when we present the gospel, the Lord to the person, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, you need to believe on him and thou shalt be saved. And we say that. But the average, normal, average person, I should say, where's it go? It doesn't go anywhere. Why? Because it's just us. And we look out, and us among the 8 billion plus people, we're just us. God, whoever you are, died for just me. I look around me, and everyone else doesn't see that. Who understands it? I don't see that. So why am I special? Isn't it hard to make you the most special person on earth? Why are you so special? No, I'm not that special. And therefore, I don't do anything very much with what you just said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's true. But it doesn't sell most of the time, because what are we doing wrong? What's amiss? Over, if you would, to Romans and chapter 1 again for a moment. And in Romans in chapter 1, you would recall, if I may, picking up in thought. And you remember, as we read, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. And we've said that so many times again and again to remind ourselves. It is to be known and understood. It's manifest, clear, public, plain. In them, for God, reason it's clear, plain, isn't because you and I explained it to them. It's because God has showed it unto them. So therefore, it has nothing to do with us humans. It has everything to do with God. Now, for the invisible things of him, verse 20, from the creation of the world, and then we did last week, remember, clearly seen. What is clearly seen? With verse 18, we're holding the truth. Verse 18, we're holding the truth in an unrighteous way. We know God, but we aren't understanding it right. We don't want to understand God personally. So God, we aren't going to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. What does the world need to understand? What is clearly seen? I don't see my sin. I don't see the sin of everybody. I don't see that. Do you understand? Clearly, verse 20. Being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power, dynamite, dynamo, and Godhead, deity, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We love darkness. We don't want to see. We don't want to understand. So therefore, God, what are we missing? Well, our world, the world that we live in, is created by God. We are created by God. We're God's creation. And there's nothing, as we shared last time, and you know it anyway, there's nothing anywhere. Flowers, buds, bugs, birds, bees, stars, science, mathematics, anything you want. It'll blow your mind away to study it. You have to spend your whole life, and you'll never have studied it at all. Never have studied it at all. Everything is awesome. And only it can only be awesome because God created it. God created it awesome. Everything's awesome. Why, flowers are awesome. We study them. Who made them? God. God, which to understand your creativity is clearly seen, your power and your deity. God, you are something else to make everything like this. Make the stars, the sun, big ball of fire. Wow. That never burns up? Wow. God, you have to be. That's what, when I look to God, God never told me to look at myself and figure it out. How sinful am I compared to everybody else? What's the standard in the world system? We love darkness. And darkness can make anything we want the way we want it, even though it isn't true or real. We can make it anything we want in the darkness. We can make any color and call it whatever we want in the darkness. We're free to do so. We love darkness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, what did you tell us to do, God? Look at the world around you that you can see and understand God in his creativity, in his awesome person. Look to God. Get out of yourself to see what? Instead of looking at your little world system around you, get out and look to God's magnificent person. And then you'll understand, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God, if I leave you out, I'm trying to figure it all out in the dark, and the gospel doesn't go very far. So God, how are you going to help me? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember we shared in Psalm 19, 1 through 6, the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth showeth his handiwork. All of which we just read in Romans 1, all of creation is to be clearly seen. So everything is there. God, I don't need to be a believer. I can live in the top of a mountain or in the bottom of a valley or on a little island, wherever I am. I can certainly see the world around me and pay attention to it and how it operates and works, and we do all that we do because of it. And I'll wake up to what? There has to be a wonderful creator. And that's the beginning. I need to understand that. If I don't understand, we all is his creation. I need to look to him who created it. And then I begin to awaken to the fact that all that I see has bugs and birds and disease and death. It isn't so good. We need a savior. We need a savior. We need a solution. That's why Christ died. That wakes me up. Not to everybody else. The whole world needs help because of God's creative person now. Having said that, and keeping that in mind in God's awesome person, that God does in a most wonderful way. Now, so having said that, and you know, what do we know? Hebrews 11, 6 and that. God, that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So God, in your awesome creation. Now, I'm just going to put that together a little bit so you see it. It isn't looking at yourself to see you need to be saved, because you don't see anything in here that you can understand in the dark. I don't see it. I've got to go out here to be able to realize what's not in here. God's wonderful saving grace isn't in here. I need to be saved. I need something that I don't have. And so does everybody else around me. Ah, that's different. Now, so Psalm 19, read book 1. Psalm 19, 7 and on, read God's word. God gave us his word to help us. How so? Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and go with me over to see just for a second, over to Acts, and Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, how am I going to get saved? How's my family going to get saved? Chapter 16, you know it, verse 30. The jailer brought them out of prison, and the jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He's looking and realizing, here's the testimony of Peter and that, Paul and that. Yeah, there they are, Paul. And the testimony, and the prisons opened, and the chains fell off, and wow, something, you're paying attention to outside yourself. God is in his working power. You've clearly seen things that are made in his power. God's doing what he does to set them free. I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who set them free. I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. Over to chapter 17. And you remember verse to the in Athens, Greece, verse 17:23. "For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worshipped. Worship him, declare I unto you. God who made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." So if you just look at that for verse 24, he says, don't be looking at each other, and don't be looking at your buildings. Don't be looking at your religion. It's not going to do it. Verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, although as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." So God, your creativity, yes, that we're all breathing. Why are we breathing? Verse 26, "And hath made us of one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation to where they are located on planet earth." Verse that purpose they, verse 27, that they should be seeking the Lord, if haply, perchance, it can be, that they might feel after, look after like a blind man, going looking, to be able to cope, that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain as also of our own, as of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, remember Romans 1, Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. We just said it in Romans 1, here it is. He's telling the Athenians, you need to look out from yourself and all your idols and all your religion and all your temples and everything. You need to look out to the creation, to God and his awesomeness. And God is not like anything, Exodus 20, like nothing he's created. He's wonderfully, wonderfully different. And therefore, verse 11, 31, I should say, at least, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." Which man? whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Risen. There's no one else, just him. So there's no question about who, no question about what he's doing. God has made it very possible to know him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we shared together last time in 2 Corinthians 4 in that, the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not. And if you aren't believing, you aren't seeing. And if you're not seeing, you're not understanding. You're blind. You love the darkness. And you're trying to analyze your life and your work and your world. You're trying to analyze it in the dark. And it doesn't come out very good. No matter how you do it, it doesn't come out good. So therefore, we look to God. We need to believe. And remember, that's what we did. And I'll do that because it's that important to lock it in, so that not the saved need to lock it in and the unsaved need to lock it in. Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, chapter 4. And you would recall verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In the heart of the believing believer. To give what? Light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does darkness need? It needs light. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the light of the world. Now God, you've Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. And Psalm 19, 7, God gives his word. He gives his word. So are we going to make a mistake, God, in trying to figure out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thus we're saved? Are we going to make a mistake? No. I'm going to make it so you have no possibility of making a mistake. Would you go over with me to John 19? John chapter 19. And you will note where we were. This is Christ on the cross. This is his fifth word, number 5. In verse 28, 19 and 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished means to be completed, to be finished, to come to an end. And not only just to come to an end, it's perfect. What comes to an end is perfect. It's finished. Nothing needs to be done to it. It's perfect. It's finished. That's the word accomplished. It has been accomplished. Everything has been accomplished. What is accomplished and perfect? What is finished? That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, I thirst. His fifth word. God, what is helping us understand? God has given us his word so that we have no question about what is going on. God said, I thirst, I thirst. Now, why are you saying, I thirst? Why are you saying that? Because I've given the scripture. All scripture, no, I won't do that yet. Oh, I'll do it yet. Hold your finger, you can hold your finger here. Over to 2 Timothy. And if I can, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And would you please note verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are, that's for Timothy, but which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why the scriptures, Timothy? Why did your mother and grandmother do this? Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God, all scripture, is God-breathed in the original language. God put it to you. Spirit of God, you know, from Peter. Spirit of God moved on men, and that's how you got your Bible. The scriptures, the wonderful, wonderful scriptures. There they are. Wow. What else do we know about the scriptures? Over to John. I know your finger's there. Over to John chapter 5. And in chapter 5, what else do we know? Here's the scripture. That's the Bible in your hands. The only one in all of the world. Of all, I've shared it how many times, you know it. Of all the books in the Library of Congress, where they collect the books, and books and more books. Of all the books in all the world, there's only one Bible, and you have it. Just one. There's not 10 Bibles. There's all kinds of translations, don't get me wrong. But in the original language, there's only one, and you and I are shooting King James and all that, right down the line to stay on safety, stay safe on course. God, all scripture is inspired by you. Your words. What else? Chapter 5, verse 30. Verse 38. And you have not the word, this his word, abiding in you. They don't have his word. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, verse 39, for in them you are thinking you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, bear witness of me. And you know, without doing the Gospel of Luke and all that, the Psalms, the prophets, everything, all of it speaks of him. It's all God's sayings, God's words, for God to what? Communicate to the human heart. He's the Creator, and he has given it safely, wonderfully, in writing, so that you will never have to make a mistake. Who do I believe? What do I believe? Believe. 1 Corinthians. John didn't disappear now. We're 19, but not yet. We're working our way back there. 1 Corinthians 15. What do we know? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. You're believing what? The scriptures. Verse 4. For I delivered unto you. What on earth did you tell people, Paul? I delivered unto you. What is the good news? The good news is God's wonderful word. For I delivered, verse 3, unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The scriptures. I wrote it down. I gave you Genesis to Revelation. to not have any problem. The only book in all the world that tells, you want to know me? I've given you the wonderful Bible, the 39:27, one of the books of the Bible. I've given you my word. I am the word. John 1, 1, 2, 3. I am the word become flesh. Verse 14. I am the word. And all the words. I am the word, he said. And I've given you my words so that you don't have any problem of who I am. And that's who you're going to believe. Who I am. Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, picking up, please. Remember, as you read the Old Testament, there's all kinds of little notes, depending on your Bible. I'll give you a little note, a little something to tell you, this is God. I forget the fellow's name. He made films. And the films that he made, he made sure that he was the film did them. And the films that he made, he put himself somewhere in the film. Now, you don't care about that, but what I'm saying is that when you had the films, if you were looking, you would find him. He would show up in the crowd. He would show up somewhere. In all of the films, he always showed his little person in the film. Now, God, in all of history, God always shows himself in everything that's happening. He shows himself. He's the author, and all scripture speaks of him. Therefore, all those little quotes over and over and over and over again, your whole Old Testament, chapter 69, Psalm 69. If I can, picking up, please, in verse 21. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp on which and one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Let me just read ahead of that. Psalm 69. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from him. Now you know why I'm doing that wrong? Because I'm reading Psalm 68, and I'm telling myself, that isn't what it says. I'm reading it. I said, but that isn't what it says. That's because I'm on... Do you ever have that in your Bible? You read something, not... And you look at the top, it says the so-and-so. But after, actually, it actually changed. So I do that sometime. You have to live a long time before you get perfect. Do you know that? It takes one long time. That's all I got to tell you. We don't have long enough. It's so sad. But Psalm 69, you're right there and I'm not. And Psalm 69, verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my drink, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That's a quote. Every single statement where God gave you little clues. As you read the Old Testament, God said, I fulfilled every one of them. Search the scriptures. They speak of me. You'll find me. The scriptures. He died according to the scriptures. He lived according to the scriptures. He fulfills, he's the Word of God, fulfilling the words of God in a most wonderful way. And therefore what? You have my personal presence and my resurrected wonderful being in your auditorium, and you have my written word from Genesis to Revelation that confirms I am who I am. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ out here and be saved. That's what to do. I've given it. You have no excuse. So says some, so says Romans. You have no excuse. I've made it impossible for you to miss me. I thirst. And they gave me gall to drink. And you remember, without taking time to do that part of it, in the beginning, when they're nailing them to the cross, and they give him vinegar with gall. That's like a drug, to so you don't feel the pain. And they gave that to the people that are being crucified so that they could handle being nailed. And he refused to drink. He would not drink it. He took the full brunt of everything that he's to take in the full way. Now what do we have? Over now, John 19. John 19. And you will note verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were come now, accomplished, completed, perfected, finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The word fulfilled is the same word as the word accomplished. Fulfilled, accomplished, finished. Same. Therefore, accomplished, completed, finished, the scriptures that might be fulfilled, finished, completed, perfected, the scriptures. I thirst, because I told you I was going to say I thirst. I told you what would happen when I go to the cross. I'm going to say I thirst. And you'll know God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God, you thirst. And he told the disciples this. Hang on, hold your finger here, and go with me over to Luke and chapter 18. Luke and chapter 18. And you will note 18, if I may, and in verse 31. Then he took unto them the 12 and said, what did he tell the 12 disciples? And said unto them, behold, I go up to Jerusalem, and all things, now note, that are, what's the little word, written. Why we read Psalm 19? Written. These are written. Genesis to Malachi, all they're written. These things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So you don't have any question. Say, how do I know he's the Savior? How don't you know? There is no other, no one like him in any way, shape, or form. We aren't talking about religion. We aren't talking about some silly philosophy or a ritual that you do and disappear or something, yoga or something. We aren't doing that. We're looking at God, a person, his awesome person. God said it must be fulfilled. It must be. Now, chapter 19 again. And you'll notice, I thirst. And so God is going to go and take his word and help us. So we have no question. The scriptures, they must be fulfilled, must be finished in a most wonderful, 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 wonderful way. Now, and so having said that, and if I can, I'll do that. I need to do that one more time to help you. Help me, help you. I'd request God. Remember, he said he did not request to drink. They handed him the javelin, the hyssop, and dipped it in the vinegar. But this time, just the vinegar. And up it went to thirst and put it on his lips. He did not do that with the gall, and he allowed it, but he did not ask for that to be put on his lips. All he did is make a statement, I thirst. Got it? I thirst. I'm not asking you to give me anything. They did it, but he didn't ever ask them. Now, in a little bit, God, why thirst? Go with me, please, over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And if I can, and you remember the Lord giving you the illustration of Hades or Sheol, where the believers go until he was resurrected. And in the process, without doing that whole section, but just a little bit, of verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man said, rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, Hades, Sheol, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What is it like? Fire, lake of fire. Thirst. Thirst. What are you doing on the cross? For 3 hours, he bore separation from God in a most awesome way. For the wages of sin is death, and he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. That's what he did for 3 hours. What is it like to be in that state of death? Like dryna, fire, torment, thirst. What are we going to do there? We thirst. Some relief. Something to cool. Something to relieve us. What are you saying, God, in the darkness? I thirst. You understand? I thirst. In this place. Now, if I can, in the light of that, and to drink, and what do I know that our Lord did? What did he have the world do, by the way? In the world, what's the world going to do? It's going to drink the judgment of God. And remember with Jeremiah and all those wonderful, wonderful things. The nations are going to drink God's judgment. And when they get the drink, they're going to drink the glass all the way to the sediment on the bottom. They aren't going to sip it. They aren't going to take 4 gulps. They're going to drink the wrath of God from the top of the glass to the sediment that makes it bitter all the way to the bottom. That's what they're going to do. They're going to drink of that. And our Lord, what are you doing? I'm dying for the sin of the world from the top of the glass to all of the dregs, and I thirst. That's what he's doing. Do you understand? Therefore, John and chapter 19. God in his wonderful, wonderful grace is going to go. And picking up if I can. In the process, I thirst. Over if I can, chapter 19 and in verse 29. Now, there was a set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." That's the same word, verb, passive, perfect. Verse 28, accomplished. The word fulfilled, sliding down to verse 30, finished, complete, come to an end, perfect. It's reached its goal. The game's over. It's all over. The artist has finished his painting. He puts his blood down, puts his name in that painting and puts the blood down. It's finished. Everything that I have in mind is made, finished, to be completed. Everything that I said and want and wish shall be. It's finished. Ended. Perfected. Perfected. And in the light of all. Back over to where you were. Over if I can, the Gospel of John. And chapter 17. You remember we were there. I just take us back there. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan. It's finished. And what you and I are doing, what are we doing? We need to understand. When we read God's wonderful promises, to exercise a relationship to God in a most wonderful way. Why are you even saying it, God? Because I finished, made possible the whole thing. So when I tell you something, you'll believe it, and it'll be. I have my will must be outworked in your life. Period. I finished it and put a period at the end. And I said, perfect it. It reached its goal. So we aren't sitting here daydreaming and wondering what about going to my life. And it may be. It's all done. And we need to awaken our little brain, awaken our head and heart, not to family, friends, marriage, coming and going, eating and drinking, work, home, school. No, it's not. All of those things exist. But it's not about that. It's about what God has made wonderfully, wonderfully perfected. John 17, as you know, verse 23. If I may. And I in them and thou in me, purpose that they may be made perfect, there's your word, finished, accomplished, in one, perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. Perfected, finished, in a oneness, a unique oneness. And over to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, like your bulletin, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, unbelief, etc. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, the race that is set before us. How are we going to possibly do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the one who starts, made all of it begin, to have the purpose, author, the beginner. And not only did he die for you, and he's the author and the finisher. There's your little word, to finish, to accomplish. He's the finisher. It's finished. I died before you. I created you before you ever existed in my mind. And I brought you onto earth. I brought you onto earth because I'm going to die. I died for you. It's finished. I want you to know I'm the one that gave you the starting point, and I am going to finish it. I am the finisher. I perfect. I perfect a wonderful life for you. Perfect. No. Yes. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, and thank you. Help us a little bit to understand more and more, better and better. God, it's way beyond our little brain, and that we don't even put it together. It sort of just disappears. But God, it didn't disappear. God, we're in your presence and you know it. And we have your word, the scriptures, and we page after page to remind us you've said who you are and what you're doing. And you've given us the scriptures to be assured, fully assured, with great certainty. No questions. It's just so. Why is it so, God? Because you said so. So thank you very much. Thank you you're able to save a whosoever that would believe. And our God, thank you that you're able to take us, just us as we are, and change us inch by inch to enjoy your wonderful plan and purpose. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.